Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
And a good evening, everybody. Good evening and welcome to Beneath the Surface here at WCAP Radio. Glad you could join us tonight. Beneath the Surface, where faith and reason meets, every Monday evening between 10 and 11 p.m., attempting to bring a little sanity into our age of insanity, a little life into our culture of death. Tonight, ladies and gentle things, a very special show tonight. Tonight we go beneath the surface with the co-directors and screenwriters for the movie Unplanned, Mr. Carrie Solomon and Mr. Chuck Kunzelman. Carrie and Chuck, are you with us?
I am with you. Chuck is under the weather, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Thanks for joining us, Carrie.
Not a problem.
Carrie, so you are one of the two directors. Chuck is the other one of, and the screenwriters, if I'm not mistaken, of Unplanned. Could you tell us lay people, the difference between what a director does and a screenwriter does?
Screenwriter, we wrote, directed, and produced the movie. So writing the movie is you write the script.
I think we lost everything.
We can't hear anything here.
Okay. Hold on just a moment.
Are you guys there? Hello?
Yes, there you are. Okay, I can hear him now. Carrie, you back with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Wonderful. A little technical difficulty. Well, again, thanks so much for joining us tonight. I know you've been doing millions of these interviews, and thanks for letting us have you for a few minutes tonight. I'm sorry, we didn't hear you. Screenwriter and director.
Screenwriter, director, we produced the movie as well. We cleaned bottles, painted the walls, we did it everything. It was, you know, one of those mighty adventures that the Lord sent us on. But I will say that a screenwriter writes the story, you know, perceives it, puts it to paper, puts the words in the people's mouths for the most part.
Wow.
A director picks and chooses the shots and the overall look and stuff of the movie, you know, where are we going to do this, where are we going to do that, oh, you know, I'm going to bring the shot, the crane down or the camera or push in. And the producer oversees the everything from making sure everything is running properly and that, you know, there's enough food and that it's like a master sergeant making sure that the army is fed and that it can march into the right places and making the deals and so on and so forth. So that's the basic take on that.
Wow. So you two, you and Chuck, are
right,
Hollywood directors. You've done other mainstream movies in the past. Could you just enlighten some of our audience on one or two of those projects you've done in the past?
Before, you know, we came out to Hollywood around 1988, 89. At the time, we didn't know why we were doing it, and we stayed on the secular side, you know, the normal business side of Hollywood, making movies and stuff like that. And then about 17 years of that, after that, we were called by the Lord to go on to the faith side, and we felt it was what we wanted to do. In the first half of our career, we did TV, we did features, meaning movies. We worked with Stallone and Bruce Willis and Stan Lee of Marvel fame, and we did all kinds of stuff for the studios. We did a movie called Inferno, which hasn't come out yet, but it was basically The Dirty Dozen Goes to Hell. You know, we did a ghost story called Tokyo Ghost Story, which hasn't come out yet. But we did a lot of stuff. But the dark side of Hollywood, people really don't understand Hollywood per se. The outside world, if they did, they would probably be like one of those old black and white movies with Frankenstein in it, where the villagers get upset and they want to, you know, they come with the pitchforks and the torches and they want to burn the castle down.
I think there's a lot of us that feel that, but
yeah, it's not a nice place, and legitimately, people have a good reason of fearing Hollywood because there is a terrible corruption and perversion and everything else. Very anti-God, anti-America, anti-everything that the average person doesn't believe. And you know, I sympathize with people when they say, "Well, how come they don't make good movies?" Because Hollywood has basically turned into a propaganda machine for the left. On the other side, once we left that world and we moved to the faith and values side, you know, we did God's Not Dead and God's Not Dead 2. We did some other movies, What If, Do You Believe, The Book of Daniel, stuff like that, Finding Normal. Our other business partner did I Can Only Imagine. And, you know, we're doing Unplanned now, which is doing unbelievable things across the country.
It really is. Why do you think, Carrie, that Hollywood has attracted so much secular progressive ideology? Why do you think it's so dominated by it today?
Well, you know, people ask that, and sometimes they don't want to know the answer because my answer is a little, you know, I believe that the struggle of this world is north and south, not east and west. And what I mean by that is God and the devil is the struggle, above and below. And it's not the mannish struggles that we have that really matter. You know, we fight the dark side, basically, you know, and people don't believe. I think people, especially Christians, they think there's a God, but they don't put much weight in the devil, you know, for some reason I don't understand that. And but it's basically, look, the media, Hollywood specifically, George Lucas, the guy who did Star Wars and Indiana Jones and stuff like that, he said the new church is the movie theater, and we have taken over that world. And for, I hate to say it, but he's right.
Mm.
Unfortunately, people are incredibly, profoundly affected by the media. For 50 years, the newscasters would say something, and people would just believe it, and they would be just totally enraptured by it, no matter what it was. And basically, it was moving us slowly to where we are today. I believe that the reason Hollywood has become so secular progressive is that the adversary saw the most powerful tool in the universe as far as convincing people. There is something that happens when the lights go down in a movie theater, and it's like the eyes of the mirror of the soul. So whatever is on that screen goes right into the soul, right into the spirit. And that's why slowly but surely Hollywood has corrupted most of the world in that respect. So I believe it's part of the great battle. And, you know, the good news is, I will say in prayer I've gotten this, but the Lord is going to reverse that. And he's going to use the same vehicle to save the world. And when I talk about vehicle, I'm talking about movie theaters, I'm talking about movies, I'm talking about TV, which is the altar in everyone's house, really, if you think about it. I mean, people literally sit in front of the TV. It's a shrine.
That's right.
Whatever is propagated or whatever comes out of that TV, they believe.
Yeah, it's interesting.
The internet, it's all social media, all of it. Media in its entirety is the most powerful form to convince people of anything.
It's interesting how the media and academia have really been where the evil one has taken over in the past 50 years. The media shoots for the heart, academia shoots for the head, and you've got the whole person and the whole, these are the culture molding establishments that that you speak of.
You know, one of the reasons we did God's Not Dead was that academia was basically indoctrinating, still is, indoctrinating our children.
Yeah.
So quite honestly, I'm not so sure I would send my son to college, at least not one of the colleges that basically I would really vet it. You know, I mean, and ironically, I was at a speech, and I said that, and the audience cheered. I was shocked, because I thought this was a very unusual statement on my part. And what I realized is that families are losing their children through academia and the movie.
Yes.
And that is the exact thing that Hollywood wants. They want to corrupt and break up the family, and they want to corrupt your children, because then that leads them to the life that the left basically thinks is the appropriate life. And it's just basically rebellion against God and traditional values, but there it is.
Yeah, and gosh, so I wish we had more time to even discuss more of that beneath the surface, but let's get to the movie. Why take on this project unplanned? You knew it, its potential repercussions and pushback. Why did you do it?
Yeah. Quite honestly, it's all the Lord. You know, I mean, the Lord called us to do it. I wanted to make a Western. Some Chuck and I wanted to make a Western, and somehow we ended up doing a chick flick.
Very cool.
But, you know, we listen to the Lord. We've always listened to the Lord. And, you know, ever since we came over, and he said, look, I know what you want to do, but this is what I'd like you to do. You make the choice. And, of course, you know, look, we're devout believers. We're hardcore believers. And so if the Lord speaks, we listen, we go forward. Now, having said that, right after that, you know, once you delve into this subject matter, I know most people don't want to talk about abortion. We get that. But unfortunately, you know, this is the world we live in.
Yeah,
and the reality is that since 1980, 1.5 billion, that's with a B,
yes,
children around the world have been murdered. I want you to just put that in perspective. That does not account for the RU486 pill,
right,
which probably would double that number overall.
And other chemical pills.
You know, it's 7 billion people in the world right now, 7.7 billion, and you're telling me that we've extinguished 3 billion. So, I mean, this is almost half the human population to abortion, and no one's paying attention.
It blows your mind how nobody's paying attention.
Well, the problem also is, so we made the Schindler's List for abortion.
Yes.
So I was on with a very secular progressive interviewer this morning from The Guardian.
Yeah.
He got very angry when I said that. He says, I'm a Jew, and I'm offended at that. And I said, well, my last name is Solomon, so I can speak about it. You know, my dad was Jewish and stuff, even though I'm a believer. But, you know, I said to him, how is the fact that 6 million Jews were murdered and most of the world didn't know and the part of the world that did didn't care? And then you can talk about a child and you have tens of millions, hundreds of millions, billions of children that have been killed.
Yeah.
Most of the world doesn't know about it. And the people that do don't care. I said it's the same exact thing. It's still extinction for the baby or for the Jewish person from World War II. And, you know, the bottom line is he wouldn't accept that because he believed that women have the right to choose. And I get that. But the irony was we went through this whole conversation, and finally I said to him, did you watch the movie? And he said to me, no.
Yeah.
And I said, how can you speak about something and write a column on something that you haven't seen?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's totally unfair. I mean, it's totally unfair because he's going based off what he believes he knows and not the reality or the truth or the fact.
Right.
So,
and I'm going to tell our audience where Unplanned is where it's playing right now after the interview. But you make a good point. I think it's approximately 1 out of 3 human beings that God creates are intentionally killed prenatally since Roe versus Wade in our country. That's incredible. Everybody under 46 years old today, we only see 2 out of 3 of them because approximately a third of them have been extinguished by abortion. So what you're doing is you have done perhaps the most important project in the history of the world, in my opinion. One theme I took out of, because I saw it the other day, and one theme I took out of Unplanned is that that contraception leads to more fornication, which leads to more abortion. And this is what Planned Parenthood's strategy was. And that's what Abby was trying to say, that, you know, you sell contraception, you're going to get more premarital sex, you're going to get much more of a demand, and they'll be in there for more and more abortions. So I guess mine is a beneath-the-surface kind of question here. If this is the case, the contraception, fornication, abortion dimensions of our culture of death are so integrated, why don't we attack the thing as a whole rather than attack almost solely its result, which is abortion? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I mean, surely if you could get people to do that, it would be the proper and right thing to do. But unfortunately, you know, the average person, they're busy making a living, they're busy spending time with their kids or driving them to the dentist, or, you know, the youngest girl has a soccer game. And, you know, people, if they're having, see, we have such a good life in America. Contrary to what the left says, we have such a good life in America,
right,
that people become complacent, and they don't want that shifted. They don't want that, you know, bothered. You know, they want to be they don't really want to deal with it, because that changes the dynamic of what their life is like.
And we're too comfortable.
I get it, but sooner or later, it's going to affect you. So, for example, yes, you're raising that young girl, but what happens when she's 11 and because of indoctrination, she's having sex and suddenly gets pregnant, and then all of a sudden, suddenly, you as a Christian, or even if you're not, you have to make a decision. What are you going to do? I mean, and literally, you know, none of us can hide from the repercussions of the world, and I think that we need to address that. But I do agree with you. It would be good. But listen to these statistics. This is crazy.
Okay.
Planned Parenthood plans on, this is their plan, they want 5 abortions out of every woman.
Out of every woman?
Out of every single woman, they want 5 abortions. 5 or more abortions, and they call them frequent flyers.
And this is how they make most of their money.
And this is how they make all of their money. Okay, contrary to what people say, they do not do mammograms. Maybe one day they will have a mammogram machine in one of their facilities. It has never happened. They do abortions and contraception. Now, the contraception, by the way, let's just say, I mean, I can't legally say this yet, but the contraception, I mean, I can tell you a story of a woman, because it's a true story, 16 to 20 years old. I want to do a movie on this woman. Between 16 and 20, she had 5 abortions, basically, and was given weak contraception and drugs that was so powerful. She had an abortion, and she was 16. She didn't even know what was happening, and they gave her a drug for the pain, but the drug is so powerful it kills the contraception. So guess what happens? She gets pregnant again, and they keep churning her. Okay, this is sick. These things are sick. This is, look, people have to grab onto this.
Yes.
We have been marketed the same way McDonald's markets hamburgers to you, me, and everyone else that's listening, or Home Depot, or anyone sells a refrigerator to us, or a piece of wood, or a car, whatever it is the same thing that Planned Parenthood and every other abortion facilitator does. They sell it. And the problem is that they lie in their marketing the same way a lot of other corporations do, to make money. And those people that believe that Planned Parenthood is good for them, They have not done their research, okay?
Yeah, and I would venture to guess that not only do they sell it really well, but they buy politicians. You can't even get Democratic congressmen to vote against infanticide today.
Well, the problem is that the $500 million a year that they're given, over 10% of that goes back to the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
So what do we got here? We got a corporation, like any other lobbying group, looking to stay in business. But the difference is, this is a wicked, evil, demonic corporation that basically is predating on our children. And you understand, okay, by 79%, 79% of the Planned Parenthoods are put on the fringe, right at the edge of minority communities, black communities, Hispanic communities, where there are low-paying, you know, where people are not making money, the pregnancy rates there are higher. Now, if they're so kind and loving and caring, why do they do that? They do that, like you said, to give them contraception so that they will fool around and eventually get pregnant, and then what will happen is that they will come to the Planned Parenthood, and they make tons of money. The other place they put these facilities are outside colleges as close as they can get. Texas A&M, which is where Abby's facility was a couple of blocks away, and it's because they had 60,000 students there. And unless somebody's naive, 60,000 boys and girls during college, trust me, they're not studying mathematics. Okay, so the bottom line is, these people are getting pregnant, and they're going down to their Planned Parenthood, and they're committing murder and a sin that could end them, could destroy their soul, unless they find forgiveness and hope and love from the Lord. And so this is a terrible thing. Okay, I saw a statistic the other day, and this is what's radically crazy. I was talking to a black pastor we had on set, and I said to him, you know who Margaret Sanger is?
Oh, yeah.
He said to me, no, I have no idea. And I said, do you understand, by the way, that by the year 2030, at the present rate, there will be no black people in New York City? And he said, what are you talking about? I said, 121,000 or 120,000 plus were born last year. He says, oh, that's a good thing. And I said, yeah, almost 150,000 were aborted.
It's amazing.
Now, just put that into perspective, and that's happening in a lot of the urban centers in our country. And it's not only the blacks, it's the Chinese and the Latin. Planned Parenthood does not prejudice against anyone. They know who they really want to go after, but the bottom line is that Margaret Sanger started the whole thing. And yet, the Democratic Party gives us a Maggie Award and praises Margaret Sanger as if she's a saint.
It's really amazing. And you know what's ironic? One could make the argument that Hillary could have won in 2016 had all of these black and minority babies not been aborted since 1973. It's really ironic. Because all of those,
that's totally ironic.
Of those Rust Belt states and all of those abortions targeted at minority babies since 1973, they may have been Democratic voters. And, you know,
also why I believe the Democrats are allowing the immigration from the South. I mean, that's a whole other subject.
That is.
Bottom line, they've got to replace their voters.
Yes, no question about it. I know we're running short on time, Carrie. Could you tell me who should go to the theater right now and watch Unplanned?
I think every man, woman, and child in America needs to see this movie. That's just my opinion. This is an issue that's not going to go away. This is an issue it has affected every single family. But especially, I would say, to post-abortive women and men, this is not a movie of condemnation.
No.
This is not a movie where we say one side is right, one side is wrong. We don't point out here, this is not a political movie, it's a humanitarian movie. So I would say anyone who's suffering or feeling pain from an abortion and wants to be freed of it, this is a movie about love and forgiveness and hope and redemption. We're hoping that the movie succeeds, and from the national wave of people that have seen it across the country, we're getting hundreds, thousands of calls, texts, emails of women saying, I had an abortion 55 years ago, one woman told me, and I dealt with it every day for the rest of my life, and I saw Unplanned, and now I'm free. So I would say, by the way, do not be scared of this movie and all the hype that you've heard. And just hearing the word that it's an abortion movie, a lot of people get scared off by that. Oh, I don't really want to go see that. You need to see this because this is the only way, not only can we make it stop, but it's for the salvation of our country. Abortion is a hindrance to revival in this country. You cannot have abortion and have God at the same time. If you choose abortion, you're turning your back on God because God loves the children. And the bottom line is, like I used to say to people, what's the first thing the devil did after Jesus was born? The slaughter of the innocent.
Yeah.
He's been doing it ever since.
Exactly.
We have to stop it.
Yeah. Wow. You're doing such great work. You're leaving me speechless. I wish. Do you have any similar projects in mind?
You know, we'll do what the Lord calls us to do next. I mean, I'd love to do a story on Margaret Sanger.
Wow.
I think that she's wicked. I think that this is where it all starts, and I think it was revealed what the Democrats were about. I mean, I hate to say this, because I was a Democrat once.
Yeah.
But when the party went crazy left, I said, excuse me? I mean, I can't believe and comprehend. Honestly, I can't believe that people have gone so far off. I mean, it's incomprehensible to me. You know, we've got a couple other projects that we'd love to do. You know, I'd love to deal with, I'd love to do the resurrection. I feel the Lord told us to do the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
That's interesting.
That's very close.
Is Mel Gibson doing that, though, as a sequel to the last, his last movie?
I've heard that he is, and then he isn't, and he is, and he is. I don't know where the status is right now.
Okay.
Well,
there's always room for two.
being in Hollywood, I have no problem working with Mel. I admire what he did with The Passion and stuff like that. But, you know, we just do what the Lord calls us to do. If it's TV, we'll do TV. If it's features. But one of the things I will tell you, listen, is there's a hopeful thing here.
Yeah.
There's something happening in Hollywood. And I know that a lot of this talk is depressing when we hear what's happening to our country.
Yeah.
But there is a mighty work that the Lord is doing in Hollywood. He is lifting up thousands of people that normally would not say anything. I'm talking about people that have come out of the closet.
Wow.
Christians that have come out of the closet. Actors, editors, directors, writers, all the producers, all these people. And they are tired now of what's happening. I can't tell you how many times I hear, I want to serve the Lord. I want to do stuff that my kids can be proud of.
Wow.
I mean, I've never seen that before. And the Lord put on my heart. He said, I am going to raise up an army and I am going to save the world through the army. And it could be carpenters or journalists like yourself, but I'm going to raise this army up. And what I'm going to do is we're going to take back the media. We're going to take back the culture, and we're going to take back everything that was lost. And as is the way of the Lord, whatever the devil takes, the Lord returns in double abundance.
So
the bottom line is that, you know, that's what we're doing, and I'm seeing other guys out there who are making movies, and it's going to happen because we've made tremendous progress in 5 years, and the next 5 years are going to be staggeringly good. And for everybody out there, you will be able to go to the movies to see good projects, and you'll see good stories, and they'll be entertaining, and it won't always be about, it could be a romantic comedy. It could be a love story. That's where we're headed. Good moral movies, like in the 30s and 40s of the United States before we lost our way.
You are inspiring me. I love it. Any last words? Carrie Solomon, the co-director of Unplanned, any last words for our audience before we part ways?
You know, I would say that we could really use the help. If you could go to the movie and honor us, if you could bring friends to the movie, if you could tell people about it after you see it, I promise that this is not, you will walk out, you will be totally profoundly moved. It's an amazing movie. I would also say that, look, I love Jesus. I love God. I love America. I love the people. I love Americans. And I desperately want others to embrace the fact that if we do nothing, that is doing something. If we say nothing, that is saying something. And the evil will not stop until we say enough.
Amen to that. Carrie Solomon, director, screenwriter, Unplanned. I will give the audience where you can see Unplanned, and after the break, I will be joined by Bob LeBlanc, and we will be discussing this interview. Thank you much. Thanks so much, Carrie, and could you hold on with the producer? I just want to ask you something off the air.
Yeah, no problem.
Great. Thank you very much. We'll be back. You're listening to Beneath the Surface, Paul Morano with my guest, Mr. Carrie Solomon, director of Unplanned. We'll be right back. And we're back. Beneath the Surface here at WCAP Radio. What a great interview with Mr. Carrie Solomon, one of the co-directors and screenplay writers for the movie Unplanned. That, by the way, is playing, if you're interested, It's playing at AMC Theaters in Methuen, Tingsboro, Framingham, and the Liberty Tree Mall in Danvers, as well as the Cinema World in Fitchburg, Showcase Cinemas, Woburn, Worcester North, Vision Max Cinema in Salisbury, Regal Cinemas, Solomon Pond, Marlboro, and Newington, New Hampshire, as well as Cinemagic and IMAX in Hooksett, New Hampshire. And that is only just the theaters around the area in which I am sitting physically right now. If you're listening outside of the Massachusetts, New Hampshire area, in a theater near you, unplanned, go see it. Like Carrie said, it really is not a biased picture of the industry. It's based on a true life story of Abby Johnson, and who worked for Planned Parenthood for many years, presided over 20,000 abortions under her tutelage, and it's her story. So go check it out. Regardless of where you think you stand right now, that doesn't matter. You would you'd certainly profit from watching this movie unplanned. Okay, now. Joining me right now for this latter segment is Mr. Bob LeBlanc, a regular BTS guest. Bob, how you doing?
I am just doing great right now. I heard that awesome interview.
Yes, and I want to talk to you about it, but I also want to talk to you folks about it. So our phone number is 978-454-4980. Let's talk together. 978-454-4980 is our BTS hotline here at Beneath the Surface. So feel free to give us a call between now and 11 p.m. if you're listening live. So, Bob, your thoughts on the interview?
I already said it. I thought it was really an awesome interview. I came out with that with a lot of hope.
Yes, me too.
You know, and I think as Christians we should be hoping. I mean, we were talking about it a little bit earlier during the break. You know, we are hoping in the next world, but we can legitimately hope that God is in control and taking care of things in this world as well.
Yeah, like you're alluding to, the three theological virtues that are infused from above by virtue of everyone's baptism is faith, hope, and charity, right?
Right, right.
And so you guys have a phone call.
Oh, awesome. Thank you, Producer Cindy.
There's Mary.
Mary, thank you for calling. You're on Beneath the Surface.
Hi, how are you? It was a wonderful interview. I'm sorry, let me turn my radio off there.
Little delay there.
Little delay, yes. I thought it was a great interview, and it's difficult down in Washington, D.C. to find the movie, but it is still playing in various, theaters across the country. We can go, for example, here we can go to Virginia and to Maryland to see it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it so much because what appealed to me was the character development. It wasn't preachy because the story, I think, was real.
Yeah, literally.
And I hope that they do more true story, shows about this subject, such as maybe Andrea Bocelli, who was almost aborted and so forth. But yeah. What I loved was his comment that he wanted to do more films about the problem of evil, and he said evil is real. I love the fact that he's considering a movie about Margaret Sanger, because I think that would be fascinating.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
Not everybody understands the beginning and the genesis of Planned Parenthood, which began as the Birth Control League by Margaret Sanger, who was the heroine of that whole movement.
Absolutely.
And of course,
and how many times politicians have gone to the Margaret Sanger Awards and people have no idea about her background.
Right. Wasn't she eugenist. A eugenist back in those days?
Clearly. And her writings are so racist, incredibly racist. And clearly they wanted to abort and they have deliberately put abortion centers in minority areas.
Yeah.
So that is a story that must be told.
Yeah.
But I'm curious what you think about the idea of that evil has to be brought out more in films through this development of conscience. And I'm curious if you have any other movies that you have seen that have built upon that theme?
Of evil and real life's evil being brought about into the open?
Well, I don't even necessarily mean real life evil.
Okay.
But I mean stories where, that, you know, for instance, old time movies where there has been that sort of
good triumphs in the end, kind of thing.
Yes. And the reality of evil.
Yeah.
Because I think it's so critical.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're. The only time we're dealing with evil, it seems to me, in movies today, are in the fake area.
Yeah,
where,
the fantasy thing of Avengers, yes, and people from other planets and aliens and all of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Great
but
questions.
Not the evil that comes from a person's heart.
Yeah. Great questions. I'll discuss them with Bob. Thanks for calling, Mary.
You're sure welcome. Have a good evening. Thanks for a great interview.
Thank you. Call anytime. 978-454-4980 is our phone number if you want to get involved in our conversation. So, Bob, how would you respond to Mary?
Well, immediately what came to mind on the movies, we actually recently had at the turn of the century a trilogy of movies. And since I'm a Tolkien fan,
yep,
I have to bring in The Lord of the Rings, which even in the movies, the battle between good and evil was really on display. And I thought the Gollum character came out so well. The Gollum character was one that was seduced by the ring, which was an evil ring. And you saw that manifested in his character, the corruption of his character that came about. And you saw a slim chance of repentance for him as well during the movie. So I thought you saw the actual battle within himself, you know. Mm. Am I going to do evil? Am I going to do good? You
interesting.
Know,
In the cinema and television in general, say in the past few decades, there has been a kind of blurring of the notion of good and evil.
There has been,
moral relativism seems to have taken over, and hence the notion of, well, there's good and there's evil, and we want to try to understand and conform to the good and fight against the evil. That hasn't been a constant or a continuous theme in Hollywood for a long time, with a few exceptions, like you mentioned.
Well, what I've noticed is, like, the traditional sort of icons of evil, they've turned them around and made them, well, we've just misunderstood those evil people, whatever, you know, like dragons are good now, and, you know, the
Dracula, yeah.
You know.
You guys have another phone call.
Vampires.
Yes,
yeah.
That you're starting to see kind of a blurring of that where,
right,
well, maybe they've just misunderstood evil creatures, you know?
And Cary Solomon, what he said is really inspirational. I agree with that. Looks like we have another phone call. What's his name?
You got Dave on the phone.
Thank you, Cindy, our producer. Dave, welcome to Beneath the Surface.
I'm a long time friend of John Tudorist, Bobby Blank, and Paul Morano, and I'm
really
pleased with this evening's program.
Wow, you know all the important people, don't you?
Well, you know, through the grace of God.
So,
what did you think of the
interview, Dave?
Paul, this was one of the finest moments in beneath the surface history.
Thank you.
This, sincerely, I mean, there are many fine moments. You guys are incredibly maturing in your approach to, informing us as your audience.
Well,
but this interview brought on a person whose recognition of the wheels turning in Hollywood.
Yes.
Is a fascinating discussion. I had lived in California, and I had the privilege of knowing some excellent traditional priests in California. They were beneath the surface.
Yeah.
And I could see the way people in California were paying attention to them. I also knew that the cesspool that Hollywood was, was beginning to break up because there were some people whose courage to speak up, to be bold, was beginning to find an audience of like-minded people in Southern California. So to me, I feel this is a your guest, Terry Solomon, provided us with an incredible insight into faith in action over a period of time.
Amen to that. Dave, what part of California did you live in? I lived in California, too, for a couple years.
I lived in Redlands, California, near the San Bernardino Riverside area.
Oh, okay. Not too far from where I lived. I lived in the San Fernando Valley, North Hollywood, Burbank area.
Oh, my goodness. You lived, yes.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, were you near St. John's Seminary?
I don't think so.
Oh, I guess I was thinking they're on the North Shore.
Okay.
At any rate, Paul, in the movie,
yeah,
which I have seen twice.
Okay.
And I should tell you that a couple of parishes in Vero Beach, California, the pastor bought out the movie theater so his parishioners could see the movie for free.
Wow.
In two different parishes, St. John of the Cross, which is my parish, and St. Helens, which is the second parish in Vero Beach. I was on the sidewalk today at the abortion clinic in Fort Pierce with the parishioners' 40-Day for Life program. I happened to be with St. Helens parishioners today.
Are you talking about Vero Beach in Florida or Venice Beach in California?
I'm talking about Florida.
Vero Beach in Florida, okay.
I made a big leap there, didn't I?
Are you living in Florida now? Is that where you are?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been a snowbird this winter. And in a month, I'll be moving back to Rochester, New York, where my son lives.
I tell you, it's great that people can listen to Beneath the Surface all across the country and the world.
Oh, you should. They need to listen. I have been sharing the story of the work you guys do with many people here in Southern California because
Florida.
I'm going Beneath the Surface.
Yep.
You're helping us understand the reason why we end up in the position we're in. Let's focus for a moment, though. Let's focus on the way unplanned depicted damage done to women.
Yes.
I was stunned as I sat in the theater. Now, I've seen this twice, in both times. Stunned as I watched the impact of RU-486 on the body of a woman.
That's amazing.
What I felt was her body was going to war against her.
Yes. That's exactly what it was. Let me just invite Bob into this conversation, too. Bob, you saw it once or twice?
I saw it once. I saw it about a week ago.
And were you struck at the reality that was shown about how this really harms, I mean, deeply harms women, body and soul?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That came out well. And I think I would just want to kind of do a plug on there are several ministries out there, various church-affiliated ministries that deal with post-abortion.
Rachel's Vineyard is one?
That's the one I was thinking
right.
of. And I know there are others, but I can't remember their names right now. But they're certainly there, and they're there to heal the women that have had abortions and help them deal with the past of this.
Yeah, Father Frank of Priests for Life also heads an organization called Silent No More. Of women.
Janet Morano.
Yes.
I've been volunteering at Father Frank's office.
Oh, yeah?
And, yes.
Oh, wow.
Goodness.
Titusville?
Yep.
Near Titusville, Florida?
Yes.
Okay.
In Titusville, Florida, near Cape Canaveral.
Yeah, why don't you mention a little something about Silent No More for our audience?
All right. Janet Morano is the person who had the inspiration for Silent No More.
No relation to me.
No, she spells her name a little different.
Yeah, very different.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No problem.
But there's something fascinating taking place. Women, I'll give you an example of a woman I know pretty well from Connecticut.
Okay.
She worked in the insurance companies, and she was a very, very capable worker. And, you know, she got involved in a relationship, and she conceived a child, and, you know, she did what her friends told her to do it, she had an abortion. Well, then, when she eventually did get married, she could not have children.
Yeah.
And one day, I was in Washington for the March for Life, and I was watching the beginning of the March for Life with Father Frank Pavone, right in front of the group. And all of a sudden, I got a big hug from somebody, and I turned around, and it was for this particular woman. She's become involved with Silent No More, and she's actually working in Connecticut, and, you know, she's actually speaking before audiences almost on a full-time basis.
Wow.
And she tells the story of the way the culture deceives people,
yes,
which is also something we saw in this movie. And we need to go back to the movie for a moment. Can you think back to watching the movie and watching Abby as a counselor, okay?
Yep.
Actually, in parentheses, a saleswoman quota seeker, right? Unquote,
yes.
Parentheses.
Yeah.
Talking to women and flat out deceiving them.
Yes.
About what would happen to their body.
We
pass out of your uterus gently.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. We hardly saw anything resembling gently in those scenes of Abby when she was lying on a blood-soaked floor.
Well, Abby herself was deceived when she was younger. And when she had her abortion, she was totally deceived. And she almost died. And so then she became the deceiver. And
she said in an interview
and the chain continued.
She blocked out that whole episode in her life.
Yeah.
In order to go back to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
But then we have to go to the depiction of the surgical abortion. And what we saw in the surgical abortion, I don't want to spoil the movie for anybody.
Yeah, that's a good idea not to spoil it.
already have, but I'm sorry. But the point is that what this movie brings to the screen and to every person who sits in the audience,
yep,
is the real deception taking place.
It is, and that is certainly a theme that runs through the entire movie. But we've got to move on, Dave. Thanks so much for calling. You're a great BTS fan, and we love having you.
Thank you for this program, Paul. You dedicate so much of your life to this. Bob, salute, my friend.
take care, Dave.
Tutorist, and God bless you guys. Thank
be
you.
Well. 978-454-4980.
And Kathleen's waiting for you.
Is our phone number. We have another call. Kathleen, thank you for calling Beneath the Surface. Kathleen, other than what you're going to say, if you have seen the movie yourself, what do you think about the deception angle that we've been talking about?
I think they depicted that very well.
So you did see the movie.
That's what goes on all the time, and not just with abortion, but with so many other things in life, but specifically in abortion.
Yeah, particularly in order to make money.
Yeah, to make money, correct. The other thing I wanted to say about the movie, because I also wanted to talk about Corey, and I know we're short on time. So the movie, David mentioned that it shows the damage that it does to women.
Yes.
And what I wanted to point out was that when they show the young women coming in for their abortions and laying down on the table or whatever, they are in distress.
Yes.
They are clearly not certain of what they are doing. And I found that very, very captivating, and I found that very real, and I was really glad they did that.
Very, very important. They were in distress, and it was like they didn't want to be there, but they, at least in their short-sighted understanding, they didn't think they had another choice.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So the other thing about Corey, it was so refreshing to hear him embrace the whole concept about contraception, because you don't see that a lot in pregnancy centers. A lot of them just stay away from the topic of contraception.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
He was right there with you.
Yeah, and like Abby Johnson said in the movie, it's the gateway, really. It is the gateway to more promiscuity and way more abortions and much more money for people like Planned Parenthood to pocket. But Kathy, we've got to go. We only have about a minute left. Thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bob, any last thoughts relating to the interview or what has transpired over this hour?
Oh, I just wanted to bring up the idea again, maybe just to emphasize it, is the lack of choice that the women had when they were going to these Planned Parenthood clinics.
Yeah.
Guys were not stepping up. They didn't have to step up. I mean, they had no commitment to marriage and raising a child. Therefore, the woman was stuck with the pregnancy and the child.
As evil as abortion is, in one sense, it's a symptom to a holistic evil relating to unchastity and selfishness.
Right.
Yeah. That's one major theme I got out of the movie, too, even though that wasn't really focused on.
Correct.
Go see Unplanned. regardless of where you stand on any of these issues, it's a great movie. You will get something out of it. It's real life. It's not biased. Unplanned in a theater near you. Thank you so much for listening.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Have you ever been put on the spot and asked to explain or defend Catholic teaching on sensitive topics such as abortion, same-sex marriage, or the Eucharist? What to Say and How to Say It is a straightforward and practical resource by Brandon Vogt, best-selling and award-winning author of Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too. He offers essential tools for articulating even the most contentious aspects of your Catholic faith with clarity and confidence. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code TALKFAITH to get 25% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.